live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 12th day of August, 2025. And I'm thrilled to have a returning guest today, Chris Durkin, who is pastor of Colts Neck Community Church in New Jersey and co-host with Pete Hegseth of the Fox Nation documentary, The Life of Jesus. Pastor Chris recently led a prayer service by the invitation of Pete Hegseth, who is now, as you know, our Secretary of Defense, at the Pentagon, and we'll be hearing more about that as well. But today, the main theme of our conversation with Pastor Chris Durkin is the resurrected Christ reforming his church, a study on the seven letters in Revelation 2 and 3. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Chris Durkin.
Chris, it is always a joy to not only listen to your program, to be involved in it, and I can speak on behalf of so many people, whether in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, all over the world, brother. We appreciate your daily work and how you edify the church through this ministry and this podcast. So, overjoyed to be here.
Well, thank you very much for that very encouraging word. And before we go into our theme today and also hear about your recent opportunity to lead a prayer meeting at the Pentagon, let's hear more about Colts Neck Community Church.
Yeah, so Colts Neck Community Church is a Bible-believing Southern Baptist church plant. It's along the Jersey Shore. By God's grace, we preach Christ, and Christ is Lord. We teach the Bible. We are expositors, so every single Sunday we gather to sing, we gather to worship, we gather for fellowship, and we gather as we study the Word verse by verse. This summer, we're studying the Psalms, not just on Sunday mornings, but also on Wednesday evenings. We will be starting a new study in 1 Peter in September, and we just finished studying the topic of tonight's broadcast, which is the seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation. So if you are in the New Jersey area and you are looking for a solid Bible-believing church, then come gather with us. Praise God. Thank you for his grace. We all need his grace. You are welcome here, but you will hear the truth of God's word. You will hear the truth of his gospel. And we will, by God's grace, take your discipleship serious. We want to equip you for the work of ministry.
Amen. And I know that you are having on November 30th, which is a Sunday, a guest preacher or speaker who I just had on the program yesterday, Dr. Jason Lyle, the Christian astrophysicist, author, and conference speaker, and also founder of the Biblical Science Institute, whose website is biblicalscienceinstitute.com. And he is speaking at Colts Neck Community Church on Sunday, November 30th, on the astrophysics of the star of Bethlehem. Can you give us more details on that?
Yeah, we really appreciate Dr. Lyle's ministry. We really appreciate his solid theology that, of course, informs his scientific research, as it should be. So we're overjoyed to have Dr. Lyle come. He's going to be preaching. We have three services on Sunday morning. Dr. Lyle will be preaching at all three on Sunday morning. And then on Sunday evening, we're going to have dinner, food, fellowship, and he's going to be teaching on the astrophysics of the Star of Bethlehem. And then we'll do a Q&A. And then that following day, he's also going to do a special event for the homeschool families out there. And it's going to include curriculum, and we want to pour into homeschoolers as they continue to raise up their children in the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So on Monday, it's a special additional day where Dr. Lyle is going to pour into our homeschool families. It's open to everyone, but that's the focus on that Monday, December 1st.
Well, I know from firsthand experience that you are going to have a riveted audience. Dr. Lyle just recently spoke at my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, and every seat in the audience was riveted to what he was saying, and I had a host of men afterwards approach me to thank me for inviting them because they were so blessed, and even more emails with those kinds of comments came pouring in later, and I look forward to having him back. So you are definitely in good hands with Dr. Lyle, that's for certain.
Yes, and amen. Thank you, Chris.
And if anybody wants more details on Colts Neck Community Church in Colts Neck, New Jersey, go to coltsneckchurch.com, coltsneckchurch.com. And God willing, later on in the program, we will repeat that for you. Now, also, before we go into our main theme about the seven letters to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, please let us know about this exciting opportunity that you had. Pete Hegseth, our Secretary of Defense, was formerly a member of Colts Neck Community Church, and he had invited you not so long ago to lead a prayer service at the Pentagon. Tell us about that.
Yes. So we were truly, truly blessed to know Pete and his wife, Jenny, while they were living in New Jersey. And Pete and I became quickly friends. And I just want to say this, Chris, before he was Secretary of Defense and even more than a commentator on Fox News, a very, very accomplished author, by the way.
Yeah.
Pete is a genuine brother in the Lord, regenerate, born again, loves the Lord. And it's just a joy for me to tell people that. Obviously, so many people are familiar with his story, but I could tell you at Colts Neck Community Church, he is on that straight and narrow path, and he is following the Lord. And he wants to not just serve this country and serve our military, which obviously has such high honor and is such a good unto itself, but he truly does believe in Christ as his Savior, and he wants to see the word of God spread and the kingship of our Lord spread to every single part of society. So Pete is a wonderful friend, and he invited me to come down to the Capitol and lead a prayer service at the Pentagon. And I was given freedom to preach, freedom to proclaim the name of Christ. And it's a wonderful thing not only to have that opportunity to teach and to preach and to exalt the name of Jesus, but he starts those services with prayer. And he calls upon King Jesus for the Lord leading and guiding for not just the military, but for this country. So it was an interesting thing, Chris. I mean, it was an auditorium in the Pentagon. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's a massive building. One of the biggest buildings in the world, apparently, biggest office buildings in the world. And when we started, when we began with that call to worship, it felt like any auditorium in any church anywhere. In front of me were not only sailors and soldiers, but distinguished men of high rank and title in our U.S. military. And because the Lord has opened up this door for Pete, it felt like a church service right there in the Pentagon. And it was such an honor to be a part of. And please, for your listeners, please continue to pray for Pete, our Secretary of Defense, Jenny, and all their children, because the Lord is really using him in wonderful and mighty ways.
Amen. And by the way, anybody who wants to hear Pete's two different interviews on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, the first one was on September 26th in 2022. where he discussed Battle for the American Mind, Uprooting a Century of Miseducation. And also, the second one was on June 7th of last year, 2024. Pete discussed his more recent book, The War on Warriors. You can hear both of those interviews by going to irontrippinsironradio.com and type in Hegseth in the search engine. Hegseth, and both of those interviews will come up. Hope you enjoy those interviews. As we had already announced, you have a profound theme today that we are discussing, the resurrected Christ reforming his church, a study on the seven letters in Revelation 2 and 3. And if you could, give us the background of those seven letters, an overall summary, why they were written, to whom they were written. And sometimes I think well-intentioned brothers in Christ go overboard in making things that were written to specific people in the scriptures. They make the mistake of always making these things exactly directed toward those of us who are living now. And sometimes that can be an overblown process, but sometimes it's just the fact that eternal truths have their place in the minds and hearts and lives of everybody, no matter what generation they live in. But if you could, tell us about that.
Yeah, so I felt led, Chris, thank you. I felt led to return the church, our church, Coltsneck Community Church, back to these seven letters. And what makes these seven letters significant for many reasons is obviously we have the epistles of the apostles. We have the apostles who are teaching, who are guiding, and when needed, rebuking the church. And what's interesting about the seven letters to the seven churches is that it is Christ himself, the risen, reigning Lord, who is reforming his church. And yes, you could even see it before we get into Revelation chapter 2, that this is by human authorship. It's the Apostle John writing from the prison island of Patmos. And you could see even in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, John addresses the recipients of the book of Revelation, as we call it, this way. In verse 4 of Revelation 1, it says, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace and peace to you from him who was, who is, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. So now, is there a certain sense that there are parts, application in these seven churches that are directly connected to his return? Yes, absolutely. I believe that's the case. But even as John is writing to these seven literal churches along a very literal trade route in ancient Asia Minor, which we now call Turkey, I believe that it's Jesus speaking to not just seven historical churches, but at the same time, he's speaking to seven different reactions to the gospel. Seven different ways that churches respond to his lordship. So when we come to the seven letters to the seven churches, however we might take little nuances in interpretation here or there, I think it's very, very important that we do not shy away from turning to the very words of our good shepherd and our chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, as he is reforming not just the churches of Asia Minor, but as this is God's word for all of God's people and all of God's places, this is, in fact, Christ reforming his bride, reforming his body, reforming the church. So I really got convicted, Chris, that we should know these churches and know these letters. So as you know, the resurrected Christ himself, he's writing to these churches, and I believe not just writing to these churches, he's building up some of these flocks in their strengths. He's directing these flocks when they're wandering. Yes, almost every single time he's correcting and disciplining these flocks, these churches, when they are deceived, when they rebel. And here's what I think is so significant as far as this historical moment, Chris, in America right now, the fifth part of this is that Jesus repeatedly says to these churches, if you do not repent, he will take away his lampstand from this flock. Chris, the last time I was on this broadcast, we did a study on Rome, on Roman Catholicism, and all the abhorrent ways that they replace the truth of Scripture with human tradition. And of course, whenever we do that, it doesn't lead to clarity. It leads to confusion. It doesn't lead to worshiping in spirit and truth. It leads to idolatry. But what I'd like to focus on today is also the role that mainline Protestantism has played in the downfall of not just our society, but even the state that I serve in and the state that I live in, and to apply, to overlay these seven letters to specifically what's going on in our country, and especially with all of these Protestant liberal churches that are full on heretical, Chris. I mean, full on rejecting not just the authority and sufficiency of God's word, but yes, rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ themselves. So the introduction to the seven churches of Revelation, you have seven churches. You have the church of Ephesus, which was, as you remember, the church that abandoned its first love. You have the church of Smyrna, was the persecuted church. You have the church of Pergamum. Very interesting. That was the church where Satan's throne, Jesus said, literally dwells. And then you have Thyatira, the church that tolerated Jezebel. And we can see a lot of that today. You have the church of Sardis, the dead church. Are there dead churches today? My goodness, the American landscape is replete, tragically, with churches that have buildings, but the Holy Spirit left them a long time ago. You, of course, have the faithful church in Philadelphia, and then lastly, the lukewarm church in Laodicea. So what's very, very interesting and very important is what Jesus says to this first church in Ephesus when he says clearly, and I think this is important for not just our listeners and not just for our country, but for all of pastors, is to remember this in Revelation 2, verse 5, when Jesus says, remember therefore where you have fallen, repent, and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Chris, there is no fear of God in so many of our churches today. So Jesus, who is the light of the world, Jesus, who is in fact our King, our Lord, he is our master. He says clearly and emphatically that if these churches then and our churches today do not repent, he himself will take away the lampstand, as if to say we will have church buildings everywhere, Chris, but the Lord has removed his lights. The Lord has removed his power. And that's why these churches are dying. They are emptying out and dying in large number. What we're seeing with the fall of mainline Protestantism, as it's called, is quite a remarkable historical moment. And the big idea that I gave to our church was, it's not just cultural, it's Jesus himself closing those churches down. And we need to remember that as well.
Amen. Well, we have to go to our first commercial break. And if you have a question for Pastor Chris Durkin, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you have some serious concerns about the church where you are a member. We obviously do not want you to identify who you are, because that would also reveal the church that you're in, that you are offering criticisms for. So obviously you can remain anonymous for things like that. We will insist that you do. And of course, you could even be a pastor in a congregation or a denomination and you disagree with your fellow elders on certain serious issues, or the denomination itself. We understand all of those things would compel you to remain anonymous. But if it's a general question, give us your first name, at least city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
James White here of Alpha and Omega Ministries, announcing that this September, I'm heading out to Pennsylvania to speak at two events that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen has lined up for me. On Thursday, September 18th at 11 a.m., I'm speaking to men in ministry leadership at Chris's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon at Church of the Living Christ in Louisville. Then, on Sunday, September 21st, at 1:30 p.m., I'm speaking at Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle on the theme, Can We Trust the Bible is the Authentic and Inerrant Word of God? I hope you can join Chris and me for both events. For more details on the free pastor's luncheon, visit ironsharpensironradio.com. That's ironsharpensironradio.com. For more details on Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, visit trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, I'll see you in September in Pennsylvania for these exciting events.
I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
CEO and President of Lebanonville Credit Union, and we're excited to be part of the Iron Sharpens Iron radio family. At Lebanonville Credit Union, we're proud to serve the community with six convenient locations across Lebanon County, Pennsylvania, and we're growing. We offer competitive rates on everything from loans to savings, and we're dedicated to providing top-notch member service. We pride ourselves on the credit union movement of people helping people. We are deeply involved in our community, supporting local events and organizations that help make a difference. When you join Lebanonville Credit Union, you'll immediately notice the difference. Our focus on meeting your financial needs with personal care and a friendly touch. LSCU can also offer you better rates and lower fees than our competitors. To find out more, please visit us online at lebanonfcu.org. Membership eligibility is required. Federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration. Terms and conditions apply.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers Morning Meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul.
Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning in to Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession, we embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's Word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com will enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best in literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, CVBBS.com is now shipping worldwide.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And Royal Diadem loves Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they automatically every single month provide financial support, but on top of that, they are giving us this mind-blowing bonus. Anybody in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience who purchases jewelry from royaldiadem.com and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio will guarantee that we will get 100% of the profits from that sale. So if you are purchasing jewelry for yourself or someone you love, whether it is a piece of jewelry that they already have in stock at royaldiadem.com, or whether you're having royaldiadem.com customize a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry that no one on the planet Earth other than you or your loved one will have, well, either way, if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we get 100% of the profits from that sale. So please go to royaldiadem.com if you are purchasing jewelry and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Pastor Chris Durkin of Colts Neck Community Church in New Jersey. And we are discussing the risen Christ, the resurrected Christ, reforming his church. And this is a focus on the seven letters to the church in Asia that are described in Revelation 2 and 3. And if you have a question, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. I'm going to take a question right away, although I was going to wait till later. I think this is a good question to ask at the very beginning. Deshaun in Brooklyn Park, Maryland asks, can I ask you, did you use any commentaries that you can recommend or the writings of some great Christian hero of yours to help guide you through understanding the seven letters?
Yes, that's a great question. I try to as much as I can, and I don't know if I have access to those resources in this moment. I try as much as I can, Chris, and there's plenty of solid Reformed writing on and Baptistic writing on Revelation. So I encourage people to always turn to John MacArthur. He's going to be a good pastor theologian to apply these things. I also turned to Thomas Schreiner. He's got a great commentary on the seven letters to the seven churches inside of his own writing on the commentary on the book of Revelation. There were several different commentators that I leaned on heavily, and I try to do that if possible. It's sometimes when you are studying the Old Testament books, there's not as much of a selection, but I can absolutely send to you, Chris, that list of books that I used, because there is, as the book of Proverbs says, wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And this study, the seven letters of the seven churches, of course, the book of Revelation as a whole, has always fascinated Christians for hundreds of years. So, yes, I can get you that list of commentators. I could post it on your social media, but I would turn to John MacArthur's work on the subject and Thomas Schreiner's as well.
Great. Well, pick up where you left off on how each of these churches are not isolated to their day and age in time, where the rest of the body of Christ, including today, can ignore them and have no concerns that these letters are addressing them in any way. If you could correct that flaw or error on the part of many, and tell us how these specific churches apply.
Well, yes, any word in God's word, of course, it's all breathed out by God. So we got to be cautious that we don't fall into the trap of thinking somehow, some way that the quote unquote red letters are more inspired than the black letters. And that's not biblical. In fact, no one had a higher view of scripture in scripture than the one all scripture points to, Jesus Christ himself. Yet the church would be so blessed. I think it's essential right now for us to return not only back to Christ as Lord, but I think it's so helpful to return back to Christ reforming the church. So let's use a contemporary cultural analogy, if we could, Chris. I think transgenderism was such a wake-up call. How did we get to this point at our society where people who are biologically born a woman could, just because of social confusion, obviously you could read a lot of Romans 1 into it as well, somehow think that they are a man in a woman's body. It was a huge wake-up call. And by the way, another one is happening in New York City right now. The financial capital of the world is soon going to have a communist Muslim mayor. That's going to happen. Now,
you really that confident he's going to be elected?
Oh, yeah. Andrew Cuomo's not stopping him. Unless there is such a financial coup by billionaires pulling strings. But I do think he's going to get elected. I'm watching the polls because obviously in New Jersey, New York casts a very big shadow. But just for even the fact that it's going to be close, and I do think he's going to win, even the fact that the Democratic Party is going to get around and support a Muslim communist to be the mayor of one of the biggest cities and arguably the financial capital of the world is quite a cultural moment. So the world is going to think about economics, Chris, right? The world's going to think about culture. But as Christians, we should think deeper, that culture is downstream of worship. Ultimately, everything that we see around us is a response to the truth of God's word, but also those being made in God's image, not worshiping, as Romans 1 says so well, the creation or the creator, but the creation. So what's happening? And that's why I think if you look at New York City, as well as New Jersey, we have a very, very strong Catholic influence. So let's think about this as it pertains to worship, not just historically in our country over the last 100 years, which I'd like to get into in light of the 7 letters to the 7 churches in Revelation, but specifically what's happening now, not only the cratering of the mainline Protestant denomination and how I personally believe it's the Lord closing those churches, but also how do we get to the point where, believe it or not, Chris, believe it or not, at the founding of our nation, you ready for this? I just read this. At the founding of our nation, guess what colony was the most churched? Guess what colony out of the 13 colonies had the most people gathering on the Lord's Day for worship? Can you guess?
I can't right now, no.
It's not a southern state.
Huh.
Believe it or not, it's my state. New Jersey had the high number of people gathering for worship at the time of this country's founding, quite a remarkable transition and shift. So you can read about this. I'm getting some of these facts and figures from Ryan Berg's book, The American Religious Landscape. And he makes this argument. And believe it or not, not many people know this, Chris, but the time where America was the most churched was not actually at the founding of the country. Now, I think because of our Puritan legacy, I think the theology was the best at the beginning of this country when we had wonderful, faithful pastors like Jonathan Edwards and other wonderful Puritan pastors as well. But the time when people were going to church the most, Chris, I was shocked to read, was actually in the 1920s.
Wow.
Can you believe that this society went from 80%, you could look it up, 80% of our culture between 1910 and 1920 were attending some kind of Christian church. There was a little Catholicism that was coming in through immigration, but most of the country was churched. Now, how solid the churches were, how faithful the churches were, in the last 100 years, Chris, in the last 100 years, from the 1920s to the 2020s, we have seen a shocking historical downfall, not just of morals and not just of ethics and not just of civic sanity, but of the place of the church. So what happened? And that's why I think the 7 letters in the book of Revelation can be such a helpful guide. If we truly do believe that this isn't just historical, but similar to when Paul writes to the church in Philippi, we don't believe that that was just isolated to the church in Philippi. Yes, it's Paul's pen, but it's God's word. So if Christ is reforming the church, I think that every single church has a proclivity to fall into one of these 7 pitfalls and traps. And we can learn a lot, should the Lord tarry, about how we, by God's grace, get back to what the Bible has always said, continue to teach the word, proclaim Christ as Lord, but but go to our great physician as he's diagnosing the sickness of even the early church and these specific seven churches.
Okay, we have another question from Jerry in San Antonio, Texas. And Jerry says, what does it actually mean that Christ removed a lampstand from a church?
Yes, that's a great question. And obviously, when you turn to the book of Revelation, you're going to see certain themes and certain numbers that have a lot of significance. The number seven has a lot of significance. And of course, this issue of lampstands. So the way that most scholars understand this is that Christ comes and he is walking amongst the seven angels and the seven lampstands, and he is going to remove this lampstand, for example, from the church in Ephesus, after even though all of their faithful labor. Jesus said to the church in Ephesus, and we can get into this, Chris, the church in Ephesus had one of the strongest foundations of any church in the New Testament. Truly a remarkable foundation. The church in Ephesus, for example, was, as you can read in the book of Acts, not only preached by the Apostle Paul, planted by Aquila and Priscilla. It had Apollos, who often visited and taught there. It had Timothy as its pastor, the Apostle John as its pastor, and now Jesus Christ himself, as the first of the seven letters to the seven churches, Jesus is now speaking to the church in Ephesus. So, a remarkable foundation, and once again, if you want to make any kind of application to the church in our cities and in this country, quite a remarkable foundation, Chris. Historically, I don't know how you deny that, but what we see in Ephesus is, as many people know, they abandoned their first love. They had all of these wonderful, wonderful aspects of faithfulness and strength. Jesus said of this church that they were faithful, that they worked hard, that they hated the works of the Nicolaitans. And by the way, it's helpful for us to be able to say that, right, Chris? It's helpful for us to say that God hates sin, and so does Jesus. Jesus commends the church in Ephesus for hating the sins of the Nicolaitans. And I think pastors need to return back to that. If our chief shepherd, if our good shepherd would commend a church for saying, yes, you hate this sin and so do I, then we have to become stronger in our language when we're preaching the law of God and the holiness of God. So ultimately, to answer the question, I believe taking away the lampstand is not necessarily if there's genuine regenerate Christians there, because Jesus would often say, okay, he who has an ear, let him hear. Most of these churches, if not all seven churches, they end with an admonishment for the church to repent so that they could continue the work of the ministry. I don't think, Chris, that this is necessarily an issue that anyone anywhere can lose their salvation. I believe that if you believe in Jesus, you belong to Jesus, that the Holy Spirit is a guarantee, a deposit. It is, in fact, the Spirit of Christ, and Christ doesn't jump out of your heart whether you're having a good or bad day. I believe what Jesus is saying is he removes his light. He removes his power. He removes what makes a church a church, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit. So that's how I understand it, and that's why I think it's shocking right now that you see so many churches that are dead. Perhaps not fully dead, close their doors yet, but they are spiritually dead. And it's so important for Bible-believing Christians to continue to repent, but also continue to return back to their first love, who is Jesus. So I think it's the light of the gospel. And I think it's the power of the gospel.
Yeah, and if you could tell us, you said earlier that you believe that any of the peculiarities that existed in the churches to whom the letters were written, they can typically be identified in churches today, whether you are talking about congregations or larger groups like denominations, and that churches very often have a tendency to fall into one category or another. Can you give us some of these parallels that are in your mind? And yeah, of course, I'm not talking about naming specific churches, although you can do what you want, but I mean, you know, giving us a general similarity that they would have.
Yes. So I have no problem talking about movements. I have no problem talking about denominations. I think what is happening right now, for example, with the United Methodist Church is quite possibly one of the biggest church splits that we have ever witnessed. And it's quite a remarkable thing. I know probably many of your listeners, including our church and our congregants, were not very tuned into what's going on with the United Methodist Church. But as a really remarkable historical moment, as far as the size and scope of an association, a denomination, how it has split, completely divided in the last several years, is quite a rare historical moment. I mean, God is really doing something, Chris, whether it be in the United Methodist Church or whether it be in the Presbyterian Church of the USA or whether it be in Lutheran churches. It's really remarkable. And of course, all of this comes around the issue of the sexual revolution and what these churches are saying about specifically homosexual sin and homosexual marriage. So I think part of the foundation that gets laid here is, in fact, an on-ramp to all of this, is the spirit of feminism that's in the church. So I know that's a lot of what people are talking about even right now. Online, you can read about it. On podcasts, you can hear about it. On, you know, even major mainstream interviews, it's getting talked about. So what does it mean for us to go back to not just the teachings of the Apostle Paul on this area, which we should, not just to 1 Timothy and 1 Corinthians, but to go back to the church of Thyatira, where Jesus is rebuking that church because they are, quote unquote, tolerating Jezebel. And this isn't the literal Jezebel of the Old Testament, but this is someone who, with the same blasphemous presence amongst God's people, is acting in the same way Jezebel acted. And this church in Thyatira, for example, is tolerating this person, not just this person, but the ideology behind the idolatry, tolerating their teaching. So I think it's very, very important. Obviously, this is the sufficiency and perspicuity of God's word. It is clear and it is sufficient. If we would return back to the church in Thyatira, we would see that even from the beginning, this kind of godless feminism was creeping into the church, and we could see what Jesus himself specifically said to it.
Yes, the very denomination that you're talking about, the United Methodist Church, I've had interviews with, at least one leading figure in the breakaway movement, the Global Methodist Church. And I applauded them for their willingness to leave a very financially prosperous denomination over truths that they believed, and that they were accurate in their belief that the United Methodist Church had abandoned biblical beliefs in so many areas that they had to separate permanently. But at the same time, I warned this brother who was on the show,
yes,
that their retention of the ordination of women,
yes,
I believe is going to lead them right back to where they started. And one day the Global Methodists will be endorsing the very things they left the United Methodists for. It's very important that hermeneutics is correct. Because the only way that they have been, and that I have heard, defending the ordination of women is by using cultural reasons. And that's exactly what the homosexual advocates do. They will say there were no loving, monogamous homosexual relationships in Paul's day. Now, how they could know that, I have no idea. Of course, nobody can have true love for anybody if they're doing it in such a fashion that is satanic. But so that's just what I had to say about that group. But I think we have a question that is very wise from Neville in New Canaan, Connecticut. Neville says, must we not be extremely careful to only point to those more extravagant examples of apostasy in churches where even very conservative churches can be right on the money when it comes to every jot and tittle of doctrine, but they are devoid of love and other things that true Christians and churches must possess?
And that brother would be correct. He would absolutely be correct. And that's why, as we study the seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation, yes, how tragic it would be, because Jesus does repeat certain things seven times. And one of the things he repeats is, let he who has an ear hear. How tragic it would be if, as we are applying these churches to other movements today, that we don't have ears, Chris, to hear how it applies to our church and to our souls and to our families. So absolutely. And that's why I think you get such a really, really broad cross-section here in the seven letters to the seven churches. I mean, there's some churches that are close to full-on apostasy there, but there's faithful churches. The church in Smyrna, by the way, a persecuted church. And yet, even then, Jesus is admonishing them. He's exhorting them. And what's so interesting about the church in Smyrna was that that was the capital exporter of myrrh. So even as myrrh was exported from Smyrna, and that's literally where we got the name Smyrna from, they got the name Smyrna from, it's a good reminder for us that not only will the Lord rebuke us if we don't repent of sin, but even when we're persecuted and crushed, so that beautiful fragrance of myrrh, its scent and its medical properties weren't released until it was crushed. So there's so much to be learned from the seven letters to the seven churches, whether you have abandoned your first love, like that reader, that listener just said, and your doctrine might be exceptional, and yet you have no love for Christ in your heart and no love for your brother and sister in your own church. Or it could be other examples in the seven letters to the seven churches. That's why I think these seven churches are such a helpful guide for our churches today. And you're absolutely right. We should always ask the question, does this speak not just to me personally, but does this speak to us corporately as a community, as a church family? And if it does, then we should repent early, Chris, and repent often. We should not cast stones on those who are, yes, blatantly and unrepentingly defying God's will and God's law, but we should fall down on our face and say, have mercy on us, Jesus, because we are sinners as well.
Amen. We have to go to our midway break right now. And once again, if you have your own question, please submit it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
This is Pastor. Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Attention all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners. There is no doubt we are living in difficult times. Our country is facing out-of-control government spending, a looming trade war, a race towards a traceable digital currency, and the growing BRICS alliance, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. All signs are pointing to major shifts in the global economy. More and more countries are dumping the U.S. dollar, and that should be a wake-up call. That's why I urge you to call my friends at Gold Wealth Management, advertisers here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They are offering free, no-obligation reports on market conditions, the BRICS threat,
the future of digital currency, and how to protect your wealth with physical gold and silver. Do you already own physical gold or silver, but were never fully educated and still have questions? Maybe you're unsure how it fits into your overall plan. Call for a free evaluation and educational call with the team at Gold Wealth Management. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. Don't guess. Don't delay. Get the information you need to make a sound, informed decision. Tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. That's Gold Wealth Management.
Welcome back. Before I return to my fascinating conversation with Pastor Chris Durkin, I have some important reminders for you. Folks, if you really love this show and you don't want it to go off the air, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card, or if you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check at your post office to a physical address, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And if you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private professional practice, like a law firm or a medical firm, or if it's just a special event that you want to promote. And by the way, as far as advertising goes, I want to give a big, hearty shout out to my wonderful, dear, precious friend and brother in Christ, Sal D'Antona, who is one of the elders at Lynbrook Baptist Church on Long Island. I just found out moments before the show started today that they are renewing their annual advertising contract. So I really thank you, Sal, with all my heart for your generosity and your interest in keeping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. You and Pastor Keith Allen and everybody else there at Lynbrook Baptist Church. But if you want to advertise, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, I want to remind you, as much as we urgently need your financial support, I never want anybody in my audience giving their own church where they are a member less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us financially. Please never do that. One of the pillars of my show, one of the main reasons I started this show back in 2005, was to be a platform, an extension, a right arm, a helping hand to the faithful local pastor and the faithful local church. I never want to do anything to harm the faithful pastor and church, including financially. So please never give your own church less money than you normally do on a Sunday because you want to bless us. Also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you bless us with a financial gift. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, well, if you love the show, please share some of that money with us. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, doctrinally sound, theologically solid church like Colts Neck Community Church in New Jersey, well, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I may be able to help you find a church that is biblically faithful, just as I have done many times with listeners in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience spanning the entire globe. So if you are without a biblically faithful church home and you are not aware of one near you, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Pastor Chris Durkin, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Pastor Chris, how are the pastors listening and the average congregant listening to use these letters to equip them from not being under the same kind of chastisement from Christ where a lampstand is removed from them?
Yes. Well, I mean, in what is called Jesus's high priestly prayer of John 17, as he was not just praying for the disciples that were in that upper room with him, but he was praying for the disciples that would come from the church, from the spirits. He was praying that the Lord would sanctify them. And as you know, Chris, and I'm sure your listeners know, he said that we need to be sanctified in the truth, and his word, God's word, is the truth. So repeatedly, we must come back to Holy Scripture. Now, with that said, it's very, very helpful for us to study the word and also to continue to hear other pastors, other brothers, to not only study it, but to also, by God's grace, iron sharpens iron, to allow others to help us see our blind spots, to allow others to help us see, perhaps, in general, ways that we are blind to our sin. The way that Jesus described it, of course, in the Sermon on the Mount, is we are looking at the sawdust in other people's eyes while we have this big, ugly, protruding, obvious sin that is protruding from our eyes. So very, very helpful, very, very essential to study the seven letters to the seven churches, and also to say, okay, is this us? Is this us? So for example, Jesus often, he would exhort and then he would rebuke. I think most of the listeners to Iron Sharpens Iron wouldn't say that they fall into the trap of Sardis. And Sardis was an asleep church. Sardis was, in fact, a dead church. But we have to ask the question, when we study any of these seven churches, is this, in fact, us? So what do we see in the church of Sardis? Well, if your listeners have their Bible open, Jesus says this in Revelation chapter 3, 1 and 2. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works. Now, here's the convicting part, Chris. This is why we need the light of Holy Scripture. Jesus says you have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead.
Wow.
Verse 2, Revelation 3. Yep. Wake up. Wake up, Jesus says, and strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Any gospel-believing, gospel-proclaiming, gospel-loving Christian will know that we are not saved by our good works, but by the finished final work of Christ Jesus, Christ crucified, Christ resurrected, the saving, sanctifying work of the gospel and the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And yet, as is often the case throughout the entire Bible, the works don't save, yet the works are, in fact, insight into our faith and devotion. This is why Paul would write to the church in Philippi, and he would not say work for your salvation, but he would say work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is, in my mind, one of those fear and trembling verses, very similar to Matthew 7.
I was just looking it up.
Yes, right? Very, very convicting. And we got to be cautious. We really do. I believe that you can have absolute confidence and assurance that you are, in fact, born again, regenerate, that you can know that you belong to Christ and you will be with Christ forever. And at the same time, that assurance and that confidence shouldn't lead to hubris. It shouldn't lead to some kind of version of Christianity where we don't repent when we hear the word of God. So if you got it there, Chris, are you turning to it? Matthew chapter
7? Yes, Matthew chapter 7, verse starting at verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Leave me, you who practice lawlessness. And that is, I think, the most chilling series of sentences in the entire God-breathed scripture. And what I have found interesting, I don't know if you would disagree with me or not, I know of some of our brethren who would be, like us, cessationists, who say, oh, these were false miracle workers. Well, Jesus doesn't say that they didn't do these things. He doesn't say, no, you didn't. You didn't do any of that. But I think that I'm not saying with certainty they did, but to me, there's a strong indication that even if you are doing these things, or at least it is appearing that you are doing these things, even in your own mind and heart, that is not a guarantee that you are faithful to Christ, and you could have the same wake-up call or the same startling news on the day of judgment that you are going to be eternally damned.
Right, and that's what's so remarkable about the Bible. Here it is, the Sermon on the Mount, the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. The king is announcing the kingdom has come, and this is what the kingdom looks like. And then in the last book of the New Testament, obviously the Sermon on the Mount, the first book of the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, Jesus is saying something very similar, not just individual souls, but souls that are gathered in a church in Sardis, that they seem to be alive, but are actually dead. Can you imagine the Lord writing a letter to your church, Chris, to my church, with those specific words to our specific congregations? My goodness, I don't know how we wouldn't fall on our face and weep. In Matthew chapter 7, it is startling and it is very, very clarifying. The way that I've always understood it is that if people were going to look at someone who could, as Jesus said here in Matthew 7, prophesy. This is not just a foretelling. I think he's speaking to those who claim to foretell, that have insight into the future. People that claim to not only prophesy, but seem to have the ability to cast out demons and do many works in their name. If you were to look at those who do these things, you would think that person's really close to God. Mm-hmm. You would think that person is sent by God. You would think that that's the most dramatic example of godliness on earth. And yet Jesus says, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. So now to the Christians in Sardis, I believe that there is a remnant there. And that's why he's writing to those genuine believers. And I believe that the remnant, the truly regenerate Christians in the church in Sardis and our churches today, will hear the word. Can our consciences become seared? Yes. But I truly believe that if we belong to Christ, he is faithful to not only save us, but to sanctify us, even if he has to discipline us. But it's a good reminder for us, Chris, that the church of Sardis, they seemed like they were alive. But Jesus said, not only have you fallen asleep, you are in fact dead. Your works are not complete. So you must repent. We should not just think of other churches when we think of that. We should think of our own.
Amen. And by the way, I want to make it clear to our listeners, I am a cessationist, and I believe today when people are claiming to be able to do these things that they are charlatans. But the only reason that I am curious about these who will be standing before the Lord, whether or not they were performing these miracles, if they were not performing miracles, I think that they really believed they were, because I find it hard to believe that on judgment, somebody is thinking they're going to pull the wool over Jesus's eyes. You know what I'm saying? When they know that they are standing before the God-man. But of course, the scriptures do not really give us that much information about that. But do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I think once again, so this is the culmination before Jesus talks about application with, you know, if we build our houses, in other words, our lives upon sand, when the storms come, everything is destroyed. But if we build our lives, our souls upon his truth, then it will withstand. So it's not by accident, Chris, that I think before Jesus applies his Sermon on the Mount with saying, okay, what foundation are you building your lives on? He's warning about a false version of Christianity. He's warning about those who claim perhaps they are charlatans. I am always fascinated by those priests of Pharaoh that were able to somehow, some way conjure up something, whether they were full on charlatans or they were tapping into some kind of demonic power. But the big idea is that Jesus loves us enough to warn us, not just if we might be deceived when actuality we're not truly born again, but also to say what matters the most is that we know him. And if we know him, we won't continue in these works of lawlessness. And I do think that there are plenty of influential people that claim to do these works, prophesy these things, that tragically, and may they repent, Chris, may they return back to Christ, they will hear those words, I never knew you, and we would probably be shocked. We would probably be shocked. But that's why that's in there, to warn us of a false confidence that's not rooted in knowing him. This is why J.I. Packer's words in Knowing God, his teaching of scripture in that book, is so helpful. But then also to say, if we know him, then we won't continue in works of lawlessness. I do think that these people claiming to do miracles were continuing unrepentantly in works of lawlessness. So Jesus said it. He said it. He said, you'll know them by their fruit. And he had the harshest words for religious hypocrites over and over again.
And I believe you would agree with me that the Arminians, I'm talking about full-blown five-point Arminians, and those who actually agree with the 5 points of Arminianism but don't give Arminian the identity of Arminius, the identity for their beliefs, the source of their beliefs. But they would say this is proof that Christians can lose their salvation. But they are they're overlooking a key word in there. Jesus says, I never knew you. He didn't say, I once knew you, I loved you, but you fell away. He didn't say that.
Right. Exactly right. Yes. And I think you
go ahead.
You need a break? I think you see this in Sardis really quick. Once again, in verse 4, Jesus says, yet you still have a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. So even as the church might be dead, Chris, there are always a remnant, and the remnant must not go along with the unrepentant, dead, asleep church. Jesus does say that there are those that he knows by name that he's saved, and he's promising you will walk in white. So that's what's so interesting about the seven letters, the seven churches, that even if the church is wayward, he has saints, he has sons and daughters in these church communities. And it'll be truly those that he not only perseveres, but it'll be truly those that I believe will actually genuinely hear his words and repent.
Okay, by the way, Cindy in Findlay, Ohio, you sent me a text, John 6:29. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. If you could give us a little bit more details on why you sent that text in relationship to this discussion. Just be a little bit lengthier in your connection to that text, to the conversation. So that would be great. We have another listener in Oregon. We have Treasure. What a great name. In Beaverton, Oregon. And Treasure says, Isn't this just another example of why it is important for pastors to preach the gospel in their congregations, not assuming everyone sitting there is already regenerate, including their fellow elders, deacons, and people with great reputations?
That is a great word of wisdom. You know, I think we're seeing a wonderful shift now, Chris. I think the seeker-sensitive movement has led a lot of churches and, yes, tragically, denominations astray. So a lot of people are kind of waking up to the fruit of the seeker-sensitive movement, that in the name of evangelism, in the name of attracting sinners to hear the gospel, that they watered down the truth, that they stopped feeding the sheep and they were entertaining goats. I really do think the Spirit of God is doing something in the hearts of his people where they're desiring truth now more than ever. So yes, we should rejoice in that. I'm seeing in my church too, praise God, that people are hungry for the truth and they don't want to be entertained. But at the same time, like your listener from Oregon, and God bless you for being a light in Oregon, you're absolutely right. Even as our call as pastors, as teachers, as elders, is to equip the body on the Lord's day, it is good. It is absolutely good that primarily Sunday worship is about the glory of God. It's not even about us. But pastors have a call in Ephesians 4 to equip the body for the works of ministry. So we worship for the glory of God. We live for the glory of God. We sing for the glory of God. And then in teaching of the gospel and teaching of the Holy Scriptures, we want to equip the body, but part of that equipping work in Ephesians 4, Chris, is like that listener just said, we have to make sure they understand Ephesians 2, and don't assume that they do, and don't assume that they do. I believe that salvation belongs to the Lord, so you could preach the gospel repeatedly, and tragically, many people, there will be full-on wolves that are dressed like sheep. Tragically, there will be many people that are in churches and never truly believe. But we should continue to preach Ephesians 2, that without Christ, we're dead in our sin, even as we want to equip them, like it says in Ephesians 4.
You know, I'm assuming you would agree with me that one of the most dangerous things about wrongly assuming that you are living according to the will of God is when people are lukewarm, because very often Christians, when they are in that state of mind about indifference, they are not recognizing how evil and wicked that is. They, again, going back to something that we were saying earlier, people seem to have comfort and thinking, as long as I am not involved in some openly scandalous and shocking sin, I'm not committing adultery, I'm not stealing, I'm not murdering anybody, and we could go on and on and on about the more grotesque sins that even very often the world, who is unregenerate, will share a revulsion over certain things that many Christians are not participating in. But at the same time, being indifferent can be a very dangerous sign of you're not having life within you. Am I correct?
Yes, and that is the last letter of the seven letters to the seven churches. It's famously known, the Church of Laodicea, as the Bible says, it's famously known as the lukewarm church. So what's interesting here is I do think this applies individually, Chris, here in Revelation 3, verse 20. I do think that God sovereignly in his grace does this to every true born-again regenerate heart. But we should also think about this as far as a church. Let me read it for your listeners. It's Revelation 3, verse 20. I'm reading from the ESV. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to eat with him, come into him and eat with him, and he with me." And then he says, "The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So, Chris, as I was studying this, and of course, Laodicea is the lukewarm church, the imagery, the shocking imagery is that this church in Laodicea is literally doing church without Jesus. When he says he's standing at the door and knocking, we have, in my estimation, have overly personalized this. We are not feeling the true application of the image of Christ outside the church of Laodicea. He's literally outside this lukewarm church, knocking on the door, asking to come in. And God forbid we would be so content with our lukewarm self-righteousness that we in any way could deviate from what Christ said once again in the Upper Room Discourse in John 15. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, we can do nothing. No fruit, no saving power. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. So this church in Laodicea, part of the reason, part of the diagnosis of why they were lukewarm is because it seems that Jesus Christ is literally on the outside of the church knocking to get in. So we should take all sin serious. We should take all sin serious. And if the culture, and every church has its own miniature culture, if that church, yes, as it should, proclaims forgiveness of any and every sin, proclaims the true depth of the riches of the grace of God, and yet at the same time uses that grace as a license to sin, not the power to turn from sin, I believe we are already embroiled in what Jesus describes in Revelation 3 as a lukewarm church. So one of the ways I think you could tell a church is healthy is they're not only hungry for the truth, right? As Jesus said in John 4, the true worshipers will worship in spirit and truth, but they repent early, they repent often. They love each other well, they love the Lord, they love the word, and they also are taking holiness, personal holiness, very seriously.
We have Mateo in Cheektowaga, New York. And Mateo says, could an excellent prevention of churches slipping into disobedience be for interaction and fellowship fairly frequently with other like-minded Christian churches? All too often, churches become islands unto themselves. Even if they're in denominations, they can ignore other local churches that are biblically faithful because they are not in the same denomination. Or a denomination might plant a church in some area of the country where they are the only representatives of that denomination, and an arrogance can exist where they don't see a need for any fellowship with anyone else. Can't this be dangerous to the maturity and development and preservation of holiness in a church?
Amen. Yes. And I think there are some places in our towns, Chris, in our counties, where, my goodness, there's just not many solid options. There's really not. Now, here's what I am truly blessed by. I'm part of a pastor's group. It's a pastor's prayer group. We meet once a month. And these are brothers in the Lord, Chris, that I love and adore. And we're praying for each other. And, you know, not all of them, not all of us see everything eye to eye as far as soteriology, as far as eschatology. But the first things, the 1 Corinthians 15, the things of first importance, we 100% agree on. The infallibility, inerrancy of God's word, we 100% agree on. So it's good for pastors to be in fellowship with other pastors. You know, there's this verse in the book of Proverbs about iron sharpening iron, Chris. I don't know if you ever heard about that. Very, very important. So to go to your listeners' point, it's amazing how blind we can become, right? So here's what I would say. Denominations or associations are not a guarantee of fidelity to Christ and his word, right? And then like that listener was saying, being an island unto yourself, being an independent fundamentalist church, while can have its strengths, is not a guarantee of fidelity to Christ and his word. So I do believe that you see not only churches being responsible unto the Lord And that's why you should pray for your local pastors. Not only does James 3:1 say teachers will be held to a higher standard, but those who claim to shepherd under Christ, we will have to stand before the chief shepherd one day. And at the same time, I think it's really, really helpful, Chris. I think it's really, really good. And I think you're excellent at this with your podcast, is that it's so good to bring like-minded believers, solid, faithful pastors and teachers together and be humble to listen as they teach scripture. We're not interested in their ideas. We're not interested in their traditions unless it lines up with the truth of God's word. But it's so good. It's so good to hear from other faithful Bible teachers and pastors and ask the question, Lord, is this applying to me? Have I grown cold? Have I grown blind? Have I fallen asleep? Lord, help me if I'm lukewarm and our church is spiritually dead. So to answer that question, sin is sin. It is lawlessness, as 1 John says, and we should be at war with it, Colossians chapter 3. We should be mortifying sin. And for taking that battle serious, then I think that creates a certain amount of humility where we'll be teachable to listen to the teachings, the admonishment, and sometimes, yes, the rebuke and accountability of other brothers in the Lord.
How do you seek to revive those Christians out there who may be so battle weary that they feel numb? They've lost a sense of excitement over the faith. They find themselves dragging themselves to church. They might even be missing the assembling of the brethren far too often. They have perhaps an overly judgmental spirit about fellow members of their church. And they may think that, you know, they're the last voice of truth left. How do you get through to those kind of folks? One great example of somebody who became that way, even though he is a hero of the faith of the 20th century, as far as his writing is concerned, A.W. Pink wound up.
Oh, wow. I didn't.
Yeah, he became almost a hermit. And
wow, I love A.W. Pink.
Yeah, and he gave up on church attendance and all that.
Wow.
But you have any thoughts on, there may be people listening right now who the only times they hear teaching, biblical teaching, is because they're listening on a live streamed internet program like this one, or they may watch different teachers on television. They just don't want to go to worship with the saints anymore. But you have any, before we go to our final break, do you have any words of encouragement and motivation for Christians to get back to that church? Or, I mean, obviously there are times when you have to find a new church, but but people can be overly quick to do that. So anyway, any thoughts of wisdom here?
Yeah, well, so I would ask the question, first and foremost, let's go to Christ, our chief shepherd, our good shepherd. And of course, most Bible-believing Christians would say to the answer, the question, does Christ love his body? Does Christ love his bride? Does Christ love his ecclesia, his called out people, his church? And of course, they would say yes. So I think for us to navigate these days when there is so much apostasy, so much heresy, so much false teaching, I think it's two tracks. I do think, and I think there's plenty of other brothers that we could point to outside of scripture, but I'm going to take us to the Apostle Paul in a second, where it is simultaneously, as we are in this broken world, we are more disgusted by the sin that we see as we grow in holiness. So that's one track. That's just naturally going to happen. I think most Christians that grow in their faith, they are going to long more and more to be with Christ and to not just be with him, but that the presence of sin would be gone forever. That's one track. But I think the other track is, and this can happen, especially with those that love doctrine, a love for the brethren. A love for the brethren, Chris. I mean, yes, we believe Christ loved his church. But let's turn to the Apostle Paul, not just the champion of first century evangelism for the church, such an amazing example of reaching the lost. But if you listen to his love, Chris, the Apostle Paul's love for these churches and these Christians, it drips from the page. Even as he's rebuking them under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul's love, whose obvious doctrine is airtight. I don't know any single pastor or preacher that would have the hubris to say that my theology is better than the Apostle Paul, right? And yet, whether it's the last letter that Paul writes to his protege, Pastor Timothy, and he's clearly admonishing him to teach the word, but he's training him to continue to care for the flock, to finish the race. I love the beginning of first of Philippians chapter 1, and especially verses 9 and 10. I think this is a verse, a passage that gets lost in Philippians and we forget it. So just for your listener, just for yourself, any listener, the Apostle Paul writes this while in a prison cell in Rome, and he says this in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. He says, "It is my prayer," ready, "that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, both ends, so that you may approve what is excellent, so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." I would use Paul as an example, who clearly saw the dysfunctional nature of so many of these churches, who clearly was receiving the word of God itself, clearly had remarkable, remarkable theology, and his love. His love for these Christians did not diminish. How can we, by God's grace, stay faithful to the end and live in both of those tracks? It's not easy, but that's the biblical model.
Okay, we have an update from Cindy in Findlay, Ohio. I asked her to be more clear about why she submitted the text, John 6:29. She was saying that this is connected to what we were saying about Matthew 7. "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?" And she says the works we are to do is to believe. Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Amen. Obviously, when something is cited from the God-breathed words of Scripture, you have to say amen to it. I guess the problem is that there are hosts of people who think they believe in him. Mm-hmm. Isn't that really the problem? Is that you, like these people in Revelation 7, they thought they believed in him, they didn't.
Well, that's why James is such a wonderful, not contradiction to Paul, but a wonderful compliment. Paul and James are asking two different things, asking two different questions. So Paul in the book of Romans and the book of Galatians is, how can sinners be justified unto a holy God? And then James is asking in James 2, what about someone that claims to have faith? And then he answers that question. So James is very, very helpful. If you claim to have faith, but there are no deeds, then the Bible would say that's a dead faith, like the church in Sardis. So those aren't contradictory. They are complementary. And that's why you're going to see a lot of emphasis on works. I mean, bringing it back to Ephesians chapter 2, in those first 10 verses of that chapter, Chris, we should be very familiar with that chapter. In those first 10 verses, it says that we are not saved by work, but we're saved by faith, only through grace. And yet verse 10 says we are saved to do good works. In fact, we are God's workmanship. So yes, I totally agree. Yes and amen to your listener. This is the work, to believe. And from that believing will come a changed heart, a changed mind, a changed trajectory, repentance over sin, love for God's word, a desire for holiness. And we're not going to make much of our works. No, in the end, we are going to exalt and magnify the finished final work of Christ. But if the Holy Spirit does dwell in you, you will repent of sin and you will desire greater holiness. Sanctification won't always be a rocket ship to heaven. It's going to be more like a roller coaster at times, but you will, by God's grace, have a changed heart. And there will be, as John the Baptist said, there will be fruit of repentance. There will. And I think that's what the scriptures teach.
Amen. We have to go to our final break. And once again, if you have a question, send it in immediately because we are rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We will be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of himself.
Armored Republic exists to equip free men with tools of liberty to defend God-given rights against the twin threats of tyranny and chaos. If you own a rifle to resist tyrants and criminals, then you should own body armor and a med kit for the same reasons. A rifle stops evil, body armor and a med kit keep you in the fight, and preserve your life. Armored Republic is a body of free craftsmen united to create tools of liberty. We are honored to be your armorsmith of choice. Civilian ownership of body armor is about increasing decentralized power and, by comparison, reducing the advantages of centralized power. The danger of centralized power is often represented by the word king. As Americans, we hate the word king applied to any mere man. We are Armored Republic. And in a republic, there is no king but Christ. Arm yourself with tools of liberty at armoredrepublic.com.
James White here of Alpha and Omega Ministries, announcing that this September, I'm heading out to Pennsylvania to speak at two events that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen has lined up for me. On Thursday, September 18th at 11 a.m., I'm speaking to men in ministry leadership at Chris's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon at Church of the Living Christ in Louisville. Then, on Sunday, September 21st, at 1:30 p.m., I'm speaking at Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle on the theme, Can We Trust the Bible is the Authentic and Inerrant Word of God? I hope you can join Chris and me for both events. For more details on the free pastor's luncheon, visit ironsharpensironradio.com. That's ironsharpensironradio.com. For more details on Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, visit trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, I'll see you in September in Pennsylvania for these exciting events.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
And don't forget, folks, this program is paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates. If you are the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my friend Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, who has been sponsoring this program ever since it launched in 2005. And has been sponsoring every event that I have set my hand to do and to arrange and host since 1991 when I first met him. Call Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, no matter where you live in the United States, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Make sure you mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when you contact Buttafuoco & Associates so Dan knows where the reference came from. That's very important. We are now back with our final segment of today's program with Chris Durkin. And if you could, Chris, I want you to really unburden your heart and mind to leave our listeners today with those things that you most want etched in their hearts and minds before they leave this program.
Let not your hearts be troubled, Jesus said in John 14. So I think it's so important, whether you're in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, whether you're along the Jersey Shore, you've had callers that were texting and calling in from places as far as Oregon. We should remember the victory of our risen, resurrected Christ. And do not be nervous. Do not be timid to dive into the book of Revelation. Regardless of your eschatology, regardless of your views about the millennium, turn to the words of our risen Lord and hear him speak, not just historically to seven ancient churches, but his spirit speaking to our churches today. I think it'd be such a good study for your small group, such a good study for your church. Definitely recommend. I think specifically the book of Romans is something that all pastors should be focused on, centered on, their church should be familiar with. But the church, seven churches of Revelation, is something really important that I think a lot of pastors, Bible teachers, small groups should return back to. And you will be edified by, you will be convicted, you will be challenged. It will lead you to dive deeper into God's word, but there will be great fruit from it. So continue to trust in Christ as Lord. Maranatha, may he return soon. But Chris, what a joy it is to be on your broadcast. And thank you once again for all you do.
Well, thank you so much for making the time to be on the broadcast. And I want to repeat the pertinent website for those of you listening who want to find out more about Colts Neck Community Church in Colts Neck, New Jersey. And the website is coltsneckchurch.com. coltsneckchurch.com. Don't forget that Pastor Chris Durkin has invited Dr. Jason Lyle, who was just on this program yesterday, founder of the Biblical Science Institute. He will be speaking at Colts Neck Community Church on Sunday, November 30th, on the theme of the astrophysics behind the Star of Bethlehem. Really start off the Christmas season with a great message like that. And then the following day, on the following Monday right after that, is a homeschooling event featuring Dr. Jason Lyle as well. And again, go to their website for all the details you need at coltsneckchurch.com, coltsneckchurch.com. Also, folks, keep in mind, make note of the fact that tomorrow, Wednesday, the 13th of August, we have the privilege of another returning guest, Dr. Michael Haken, who is a globally renowned church historian, an author and conference speaker, and he is going to be speaking on John Newton, the amazing story behind the writer of the hymn Amazing Grace, it's the 300th anniversary of John Newton's birthday. Make sure that you tune into that if you want to find out more about John Newton, the author of the hymn that is probably one of the most globally recognized songs, which started as a poem, the most globally recognized songs, even amongst the lost. So we thank God for giving us that legacy of John Newton and that precious hymn that all of us who are in the body of Christ love to sing. I want to thank Pastor Chris Durkin again for being on the show. I want to thank all of you who listened, and especially those who took the time to send in questions. And I hope that you all will never forget for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.